radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 7. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. You might underline the word to hurt or circle it to give you a little bit of a anchor when you're reading this later sometime. You'll be seeing it before you start the chapter and you'll be looking for it. These four winds come before us. And they have angels over the four winds. And these angels are told not to blow upon the earth until something is done, and we'll see that in a moment more deliberately. But I want you to understand that what's going on with these four winds is very significant for you and me. If you were to go back and look at how God references in the prophecies of the Old Testament and some in the New, you would find out that the winds have a special place in God's economy. How does God work? Well, sometimes God stirs things up, and you can use that as a kind of metaphor of the wind. Jesus said about the Holy Spirit, he says, you know, you can't see the wind, but you can see its effects. You want to see God? Look at the effects. Look at how God stirs things up. Do you know what God is doing right now? He's stirring things up in this world. The winds aren't quiet right now. The winds are kind of turbulent. You've got our borders being blown around down there, don't we? We've got China being blown around. We've got the Islamic world whooping back up, as it were. Syria. We've got a world that's kind of turbulent. That's what the wind does. God's wind's out there. And so what I want you to know is that when we see the wind, we see something of God's dealing with the chaos out there. We could say of the horses of the last chapter that they're God's particular providences. He's providing men what they want. What did they want? They wanted a world ruler. He's going to give them one. Do you realize the world's ramped up for a world ruler? They're asking for it. And we could turn the emphasis. They're asking for it. I like what I saw this past week when you talk about disciplining children, bringing them up, right? You know, when I was young, they didn't give us a time out. They gave us a time's up. Okay? You got to come over here, we get a switch. Time's up. Not bad enough. You're going to get a swat and a spanking now. But that's what they're doing. They're asking for it. And they're going to get it. And they're going to get their one world ruler. Just not for a little bit yet. But if it's this close, and if we can see all this nonsense, how close is the rapture? How close is the rapture? That's what I want you to take from these studies. How close is the Lord's coming in the air for the Christian? If you don't begin to look at the world around you with a little bit of a sense that it could just deteriorate and dissolve in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and you're caught up, then I'm telling you, that's how this should be affecting you and me. And it also should make us sigh and cry for any children and grandchildren that we might have that are not saved, because they will face the worst of calamities this world's ever known. They need to be born again. We need to be born again if we're not. We need to run to Him and say, I am sorry. The one thing in chapter 9, repeated in two places deliberately, is that neither repented they. The one thing that just kind of blows one's mind. Why don't they repent? It says, neither repented they. And their sins are huge. Their sins are apparent. So in other words, they're still going to get their comforts from the things that they have decided to get their comforts from. Fornication, adultery, murders, sorceries, which is the idea of using drugs. And a drug is not just something sold over the counter, is it anymore? We're living in a generation now where we're legalizing not only marijuana, but I think it's Oregon over there that actually made it okay to have all these other things. And right now there's a crisis on the border, not just of people coming over, but most of the people are little children. And you know what that means? That means they're being sold. They don't have any parents. And it was Steve Bannon who helped President Trump get elected just this past week on his War Room podcast, said that the children are being sold for just over $3,000 a piece. Human trafficking right there. So what we have is a president who, one has said, received, and this is just in jest, tongue in cheek, they're saying it and in sighing and crying, but he's become the human traffic star of the year. because he opened the borders and the children are coming and they're selling them. I'm saying to you that what we're looking at is the winds are blowing. The opening of this border, God pulling down that hedge, God allowing a Biden to get in there, even though the entire world knows there was a lot of iffy things about this vote that just took place. Even if one does not believe that there was anything there, courts should have heard it so it could have been settled. They've kept it in the darkness and they've allowed better than half of this country's voters to be sitting there idling with frustration because nothing has been resolved. Nothing. And you can't trust the next election or the next until something's done. This is where you're at. So we're teetering on purpose. This is by design. The Bible says in Ezekiel that the Lord told Ezekiel, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain, that they may live. And you know, that's the Valley of the Dry Bones passage in Ezekiel. All Israel was raised up. So we see God raised up Israel. Where'd they come from? They're here. They weren't here from 70 AD to 1948. So we see there's a regenerative move of these four winds. But they're told not to do anything in this passage before us in chapter 7. Matthew chapter 24 talks about it. He shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end unto the other. Another place it talks about scattering by the winds, Elam, which was a city outside of Persia out there in the Middle East. And then Daniel, it talks about the four winds strove upon the great sea, and that's right before all these different nations are beginning to see, and the different beasts and the he-goats and all of those images that he used to depict the kingdoms that would come up and the empires that would arise. What I'm saying is that these are taking the chaos. These are the providence of God that generally controls the chaos. Well, they're not controlling it right now. He's saying, wait. And so I would suggest to you that for the first part that we're looking at here, we're looking at God using what He uses. He uses conscience. He uses your conscience. How's your conscience going? What's happening in there? Do you see what's going on out there? Do you see a mask being put on your face? Like I said, if we took all the masks off, like 17 states are doing right now, it would feel relatively normal. But we still are afraid to do that. Even though the numbers are in, even though the word is out, even though we know that these people we think we should be able to trust, we've been obviously shown we can't trust. The numbers are in. The votes were in too, but that didn't matter either. I'm telling you, God is telegraphing to you truth, and it's up to you and me to say, what's this going to do to my conscience? Because our consciences need to be engaged here. If you have a comorbidity, wear a mask for you. Just like the person mowing their lawn has allergies, they're wearing a mask when they mow their lawn. Good idea! But the rest of the population who are not in jeopardy, who've had the flu before, and maybe have a rough flu. Yeah, rougher than a regular flu, but still a flu nevertheless, and 99% live through it. This is truth. I let those words stay there, and people can say to me, I don't believe that, and I'm fine with that. I'm going to tell you what is true, because what's happening is we're living in a day of deception, and the four winds are left idle. Why? So the conscience can work. What happens while the conscience works? The Bible says, do not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on the tree. Why? Because they're going to. In the second half of the tribulation, it's not going to be God stepping back and letting people sit there and soak in what's going on around them. It's going to be God entering the fray. He's going to cast the incense of all the prayers of all the saints of all the seasons. He's going to say, thy kingdom come. He's going to say, all right. And he's going to cast all that incense, the prayers of the saints, to the earth. And he's going to enter the fray, literally. He's going to start turning water to blood. And all the stuff God does. God does what God does. And right now what God is doing is he's saying, here's your conscience. Think about what you know about you. Think about what you know about your loved one. Are you thinking about other things than yourself? Think about your children, teaching them the Word of God, getting them in bed at night with the Bible, understanding that they need Jesus. They don't need anything more than they need Jesus. You say, when the rapture comes, will the Lord take them? That's a good question. Let your conscience work on that one. There are answers to that, but I don't want to give you that answer overtly because I want you to be thinking about these things. Everything is to be thought about right now. Check out the lay of the land, man. It's coming down. Jesus is going to return. We believe that. He told us it would be this way. He told us about a mark on a hand or forehead you couldn't buy or sell. Those literal words, you cannot buy, sell, or trade without the mark of the beast, it says in 13 of Revelation. That's the exact verbiage of headlines in two places in Israel right now. They're using those words. So I say to you, the winds were quiet. And as they were quiet, the Bible says, I got something I want you to do. Verse 3, hurt not the earth or the sea nor the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now understand something. This shows us there's a different dispensation here, first of all. The people who are being sealed in this passage are clearly set before us for who they are. The Bible talks about 144,000 individuals being sealed. Cults have picked this up and tried to commandeer it and say, well, it's our cult, it's our purest of pure, you know, all these things. But they're just playing with the Word of God because it tells us who they are. There's 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. There's no question. Why do you take something that makes perfect sense and turn it into nonsense? Doing that makes everything negotiable. Now, the Bible says in verse 4, it says they were going to be sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Now, part of the reason people like to think it's their cult is because they've already written God's work with Israel off. They like to think that the church is Israel. Church is not Israel. The church is separate from Israel. And what we have is we have this anti-Semitic spirit that's conjured by believing that God's done with Israel. But God is clearly telling us by the last book of the Bible, He's got a plan for Israel. And every one of the prophets that you can read in the Old Testament where God had been fed up with His people, He would bring the hammer down and it would be not pretty people getting slaughtered by the enemies of the Lord. But then He'd come in with the last little bit to say at the end of His prophets. Typically, He would come back and say, but there's coming a day, but there's coming a day. I reference for you the book of Isaiah. Judgment, 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 judgment on the northern kingdom. Assyria was going to come. Assyria was going to wipe them out. Judgment, judgment. And then in chapter 40, after you get past the first 39 chapters, which basically answers to, it answers to the 39 books of the Old Testament. You get to the 40th chapter, comfort ye, comfort ye, comfort ye, my people. And it's all comfort and grace from then on. He has a plan for Israel. And so I say to you, when you see these people being sealed, this is something different because the Bible tells us as believers that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 1. He's the seal. He's the guarantee. The word is used as an earnest. We're sealed by the Spirit who is the earnest. And the earnest is the same thing as earnest money, which I don't think people use that word so much anymore, but we used to use it pretty regularly. You buy a house, you put down earnest money. And if you don't go through with buying the house, you lose your earnest money. It's like you might say, hey, I'll give you $100. I'm going to go get some money. I'll be back. I'll buy the car. That $100 is your deposit. We might use it that. The Holy Spirit is given to us now as the earnest. It was also used as a sealing of a ring of a king. Sealing of the deal of being married. These words seal and the word earnest, they have the ideas of absolute promise. We've all been sealed if we know Jesus. Aren't you glad that's true? Because if it was up to you and me, we'd lose it. Okay, just would. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit hanging in there with us, He'd never wake us back up when we fell asleep. He'd never bring us back home if we didn't have the reminder that my Father has many servants in His house. You wouldn't go back to a cruel taskmaster. You'd go back to your Father, though. I'm saying to you that He's sealing these people. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.